Greetings, everyone. Are you ready for an accelerated course in higher consciousness? This is how our global village will get ahead of the accelerated rate of change we are now seeing in the world. It won't be with the same consciousness that created the problems we see. It will be with a new consciousness that is now evolving with the angels of our better nature. Welcome to Cosmic Love. Have you ever considered what will happen when the language of cosmic love becomes common sense with a common language? Are you aware that this love language is, in fact, the learning process, the creative process, and the processes of consciousness at the quintessential foundation of self-governance? Think about that. Such a language of consciousness has the potential to involve and evolve our individual and collective consciousness. This is what cosmic love is all about, higher conscience. Give yourself a checkup from the neck up. What do you think will happen to your world and the world at large as we become more conscious of how we are conscious, both individually and collectively? I'll give you a big hint. Take a good look at the worldwide web of consciousness that the internet has created. Consider this new net reality for what it truly is, a global revolution in higher consciousness. The instant, everywhere, interactive internet has eliminated space and time. We're all connected in a global village now. All knowledge is at your fingertips. Knowledge power as never before known to humanity. But where's the cosmic love, you may ask? There's a new net reality shaping the consciousness of humanity. Freedom to know better and the opportunity to do better has far outpaced the ability of our core institutions to keep up with the revolutionary capabilities for all humanity. That's what the internet represents, the evolving consciousness of humanity, the collective consciousness of humanity, and the collective future of humanity. That's where cosmic love comes in. Any good metaphysician with his finger on the pulse of humanity could tell you that. If you step out of the box of contemporary groupthink and if you become an objective observer of the evolutionary ascent of net reality caused by the internet, you will not only see a huge wave of change coming, but also the nature of that change and the role that cosmic love will play in change events. There is a natural evolutionary path to these changes. Cosmic love is a blueprint for that change. It always has been. But humanity is just beginning to grasp the multidimensional consciousness required to navigate the vast, uncharted realm of inner space, the internet, at the heart of the internet. This is the new global village consciousness that is defining the collective conscience of humanity. Let's get real. Net reality is what we make it. Where do you think it's going? How do you think we'll get through the birth pangs of a new world being born? Are you ready for the next big thing in the computer internet revolution? Would you agree that the best way to predict the future is to create it? Cosmic love is the answer to these questions. All I ask is that you listen and learn. See how you can catch the biggest wave of opportunity in history. I'll explain how you can ride that wave for phenomenal win-win benefits for yourself and all humanity. Those hearing this are obviously computer literate, so connect the dots. Get a grip on the net reality of global connection with the benefits of cosmic love. Someone has to do it. May it begin with us, united sovereigns in a united state of cosmic love. Always victory when we love enough, keep the faith, get the vision, embrace the virtue, make the vow, and claim the victory of cosmic love in your world and the world at large.
Greetings, every soul. This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love for August 15th, 2009. I have the privilege today of interviewing the author of a book called The Immortal Now, We have Patricia Grabo on the show today. I'm going to give a little bit of an introduction to Patricia. One of the best introductions you can have is to look at her book, if you're coming from the Cosmic Love webpage. Some of you have had a chance to peruse the material in her book, an overview of the show today, information about the book. This is a call-in show. You can call the numbers on the BBS Radio Cosmic Love webpage. You can open that in a separate window if you know how to do that and read along about the book as we're talking about it. I highly encourage you to do that. Those who have, I'm sure will want to hear from Patricia. You may have some questions you'd like to call in and ask her about. Patricia, are you there?
I certainly am, Christopher. Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, I'm really excited about this subject. I've talked with Patricia earlier. She actually lives locally. I ran into her at Chico Hot Springs near here, down the valley here in Paradise Valley, Montana, here a few weeks ago. And we had an interesting discussion. I've talked to her before about earlier books she's written. And it's along the lines of the same subject. And she's got an interesting story here. You can read a little bit about that on her webpage, The Immortal Now. But I'd like to hear it from you, Patricia. Actually, I'd like to hear more about this experience that you had that got you to write these four books and culminating with a vision from the beginning of doing this fourth book that you've come out with now called The Immortal Now. It's quite a story. I'd really like to hear your take on that.
Well, thank you, Christopher. Well, it is quite a story. It really began about 28 years ago. And we've discussed it briefly, but I was in an automobile accident in London. And I was declared dead. My children were told I was dead, and they kept everything going. What happened during that 10 minutes in Kingston and London is what is still with me today and was the impetus for everything that I've done since then. So,
Classic near-death experience.
Oh, it was. It was indeed. And for those that have gone through this, they know what I am discussing with them. Because it was love to the millionth power. And there was no Patricia. And there was no time, and there was no space. There was only this love. You can imagine what it was like. Imagine being in love on a beautiful day with the sun shining, and then multiply that to the millionth power. There was no earth. There was no self. There was no worry. There was nothing but this immeasurable love. And then when I came back, they kept all the instruments going, and then when I came back, it must be what it's like being born, because light was harsh, and it is the light of love. It is not, when they talk about the white light, it's not a visual light. It's the love you feel when you see your child asleep in their bed, or it's the light within the heart. And so when I came back, it was like being born, and that light was harsh, and sound was harsh, and I could feel gravity, and I could feel this body, and I could feel the self, particularly.
I bet you had some real aches and pains going in your body.
You know, and it was interesting. It was like, yes, it was it was discouraging, I could say that, being back.
Well, I wanted to reference, I've had a couple near-death experiences, and I know it's different for different people.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there's the full spectrum of experience from, you know, life reviews where people have flashes, their whole life goes before them, and they see everything that's happened. There's, you know, the whole, I've actually read quite a few books and different material on this process of, you know, these near-death experiences, and I have a favorite book on that subject. I won't go into that right now, but there's a full gauntlet of experiences from visual to the feeling of love,
mm-hmm.
to the visual of, you know, seeing it all and having it all in perspective on one hand, and on the other hand, a feeling that just transcends all words and anything you have person that you could possibly, in a sense, feel in this dense octave of incarnation that we call you know, life. But that your experience, what really, really interested me about it, tuning into that endless love, that timeless love, that that extraordinary feeling of love.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that represents largely what's going on with the acceleration of change as we know it, and with what they're calling this 2011-2012 timeline shift. You know, there's this acceleration going on, and there's this sense of connection that a lot of people are transcending, almost like a near-death experience. They're transcending they're losing time, they're transcending their perceptual frames of reference, you might say.
Yes.
And go on with your experience, because I think it's really seminal to understanding a lot what's going on right now with what you're talking about. I really believe that.
Yes, and I agree with you. And the remarkable thing is that language is a difficult thing to try to describe what happens in this situation, because language comes out of a belief system that has kind of come about.
Yeah.
So to try to describe it in language is not easy. There's something I'd like to read from the book a little bit later about that, Christopher. But what happened then for me was almost a two-stage return to here, in that the first stage, the people in the hospital realized that I wasn't dead and were running over and quite interested in what was happening and had been working on me. And then when they brought my children in, I had my two teenage boys were with me in the accident. My oldest son had a broken arm and leg, and my youngest son had a bump on his behind. But when I saw them, then I returned altogether.
Uh-huh.
So, and it was interesting that the love that I have for them was part of my return here as well.
You had unfinished business here.
I had, yes. And I had loved here, you see.
Yeah.
But also, that experience exists within me somewhere within my heart right now. And what happened with the books was not that they were a description of the near-death experience, but they contain within them the awareness that in language that came from the near-death experience.
Well, there's a little paradox there, like you mentioned, because words, language, symbols of symbols twice removed from the truth sometimes.
Yes.
It's difficult to convey sometimes with words. That's why your experience, as you're sharing it, really does a lot to understand it.
Mm-hmm. Let me read this. The book itself, in a sense, is just it's a gift you give yourself to experience all of this. And one of the things that talks about this, it said, the world is not, by the way, Christopher, the subtitle on the book is The Ascension and the Nature of the Present Time. And the book really describes what we're all going through collectively. And it says there's nothing left out. It isn't, and it says it's not theology. It's really the nature of reality. So it's not, it's not a theological, it has no theological base to it. It's like, it says it's like the next step beyond quantum physics, in a sense. But it is within the heart.
And you're doing a reading now?
Yeah, if I may.
Oh, please do.
Okay. It says, the world does not see the vision of what is coming in terms of the ascension and the nature of the present time. It cannot visualize the nature of the ascension. It is beyond any image that has been created within the human consciousness. It is like a child trying to describe to the mother what the imagination the child has. The language is lacking to describe the nature of what the child is imagining, and the mother has yet to teach the language to the child that will convey that information. And when the child grows to the point where the information can be conveyed, then the child no longer carries the image in the same way.
Yeah.
So there you are, trying to describe what is actually transpiring for all of us in words, you see. But it's not difficult to understand why the image is beyond the imagination at this point, because the world is so encumbered within its own collective awareness that it cannot see the nature of its own being truly. It cannot see the depth of...
It's like talking about the... it would have been like talking about the Internet before the Internet. People would have thought,
yeah,
you're nuts.
Yeah. What is that? I cannot visualize that.
Yeah.
It cannot see the... Exactly, Christopher. It cannot see the depth of the love, compassion, kindness, purity, spirit, mind, intellect, and all the things that are encompassed within the larger being. It has forgotten the child within. It has forgotten the unlimited nature of its own being. So it remembers it, but it remembers it within the present. And so the book speaks so much about what the present time actually involves. And then it says that this is a time when it's important for individuals to meditate. It is, and then go back, go away, return, and then prepare themselves in that way. And it says there are those who assume that if you act correctly, that, for example, if you're kind to one another, that the ascension will occur. It does not understand the nature of the present time. They do not understand the nature of unlimited thinking. They do not understand the nature of the larger being. So assume that this life is a direct reflection of the larger being, and it is not so. This life is a direct reflection of all the beliefs that have been accumulated by the individual. It is nothing more. But it is not the nature of the present time. And it is not the nature of the ascension. So it's just a fast, it's a channeled work. I don't know if you mentioned that, Christopher,
yeah,
but
I think my impression, as I was tuning into your story before and reading your book, is that there is a connection with, you might say that, oh, it's been called the still small voice within.
Yeah.
It's been called conscience. It's been called, you know, the spirit of discernment. But some people would refer to it as the source of being, and others would refer to the one's I am presence, or the presence,
yes,
of great love that transcends, you know, the human, so to speak. The sense of separation from great love is the way I reference the human. So when someone refers to me that they channeled this, it's always from that source, whatever name you give to it, as I understand it. And we all are connected to it. My understanding of the ascension process is an evolutionary process of the soul. And that what you refer to as a belief system is the soul matrix, or the soul's habit of thinking, mm-hmm, feeling, believing, and acting, you know. Spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. It's the habit that we've come in from before, and we'll take with us beyond. But there is an evolutionary ascension process. The soul learns, ideally, you know. And the reason I love your book is because it is a meditation.
Yes,
it's
exactly
the concept of tuning into the process. And the wording around the process, because the process is an exquisite metaphor for the learning process, the creative process, the co-creation, and this process is basically the processes of consciousness at the quintessential foundation of self-governance, how we govern ourselves, and some people have a sense of separation in that process, a sense of separation of the soul, which causes suffering. And the transcending that is coming back to that presence of great love in form and frequency, as infrequently, that really manifests the presence and
yes.
The I am presence, the presence of co-creation, source, conscience, discernment. It's like the purpose and plan of this experience here. And your
mm-hmm.
book is just, I just love the metaphors that you use. There's dimensions of it, and I think it's great that you've provided on your webpage a way to download for free the ebook. I think that's great because my experience is that the more the people tune into what your book is about, the more they're going to want to buy it to have it around by their bed or just be able to pick it up, and because it's a meditation. The book is a meditation. And
I think it's
so cool.
Oh, thank you, Christopher. Well, and it says that. It says it, and that's the thing when I was wondering how to put this in language in order to talk to your listeners, and I'm so grateful to be on the air with this, is that how do you put this in words without taking the whole concept and move it back into what people might already believe or experience? And as you know, when you go into meditation, you go into this other place. And the book, you're right, takes you to this other place, and it's a multi-dimensional experience as you read it. So
it's important that you
listen to what is said today, but then it's even more important that, there's a free download and just a gift you give yourself just to have that experience of what the book is saying. And it was interesting, Christopher, because when I came back, I didn't know I was going to be doing four books. I came back and I was almost suicidal because all I really wanted to do was go back to where I was.
Yeah.
And I went through that experience. And finally I was led to begin a process called automatic writing and I was told by a friend of mine to use a white light meditation before I started this. And now you have to understand I come from a totally traditional background. I have no experience in all this.
Yeah.
But I was led very specifically every step of the way.
You were a sleeper that woke up.
Well,
that's what I think of it. There's a lot of people just popping into a whole new take on all this stuff these days. And this was 20 years ago, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was 28 years ago. And the interesting thing, too, 28 years ago, it said you to do these books. It said I was going to do four books in my lifetime. And it said you will do these for the events that will happen within 30 years. And it's only been the last year or so that I've realized that the 30 years was 2012. And that was interesting as well. But I, when I began this process, then I, the books wrote themselves. I went into a meditation and the books then wrote themselves. But the beauty of the books isn't that it doesn't say it's the truth. It doesn't define, it isn't a definition of a treatise at all. It is just an experience you give yourself when you read it.
Yeah,
and it means
the meditation.
It is exactly a meditation. It said that it functions. You function on many levels.
Yeah.
When you read it, you don't function on many levels when you're listening to me tell the story, but you do when you're actually reading it. You know, and that is when you connect with the heart, and the heart is the center of the individual. And there's an interesting thing the book said about the heart. It said it is the window to the universe. And it says it is difficult for you to understand at this point that when one talks of space travel or other ideas, they simply do not originate in the intellect. They come from the point of omniscience, and that is the heart. It's indestructible. It's without limit. So when one goes within, one solves problems. One sees visions. One understands their own being because it is the point at which they understand their own nature and connect with their own source. It's the source of all life, and all life reflects that source. And you just see it in glimpses. You don't see it all the time. You know, it isn't like I go through the day and I see this all the time. But there's
nothing. You got a big glimpse of this.
On an ongoing basis.
and it primed the pump for more. In other words, that standard, that small voice within became the voice. And it guided you back in that direction.
And it does all of us. I had an interesting experience with my grandchild not too long ago. Maybe I should convey that. His name is Tiger.
Uh-huh.
And he is 9 months old, and he's a nursing child, and it's the first time his mommy had been away. And he started to get fussy. And I took him out, and there was a tree just outside the door. And he looked at the tree, and he touched the tree. And then he went away. Tiger Fussy went away. Everything went away but him and that tree. And for just that moment, within the present time, it was Tiger and the tree and that same love to the millionth power that I experienced when I died.
Wow.
Just for a moment. And it isn't. And that's what the present time means. That's what, you know, it's the moment, for example, before you're hit by a wave. It's that moment that the child is lost in the flower. It is that moment of...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think it's this concept of feeling on that level. It's the most difficult thing for... you might say the male mindset, the left brain, linear, logical, and there is a reality that they refer to as emotional intelligence. That's just the equivalent of, you know, as important as intellectual intelligence. And there's a lot of people who would believe. Especially those of the feminine persuasion that say emotional intelligence is more important. And I really, you know, my feminine side agrees.
Oh, there you go.
I think there's a synergy of the two.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. This understanding of a love that just transcends, passes all understanding, that there is an intelligence there, and it is the intelligence of the heart. And unless that's engaged with the intelligence of the mind, there's no real wisdom.
Yes. Yes, and the real wisdom comes from the heart, actually.
Yes.
And interestingly enough, there are those who really teach that. I have a dear friend who's involved in heart math. And that just moves it into that moment when one is at one with one's heart. There is no duality in the heart.
Well, you know, the heart math thing, I'd like to take off on that a second. For those who aren't familiar with heart math, I follow quite a few people that have been worked at the Heart Math Institute and have taught, and I've heard lectures from them at the Heart Math Institute. And it's interesting how they go into all these dimensions of the intelligence of the heart and how it is the most important intelligence, because intelligence of the brain without the intelligence of the heart is the cause of all suffering, in the sense of that sense of separation from love as a feeling. I mean, the idea of love as an intellectual concept just doesn't compute. Do you know what I mean? As an intellectual,
but all intelligence comes from it.
So I have followed their work, and I know people that have worked. Dan Winter, who's really got into a lot of the heart math concepts, principles from a more you might say left brain dominant perspective, is the geometric order of the universe and love as a form as well as frequency. mm-hmm. you know, as a frequency. But the Heart Math Institute actually developed a way to hook people up with a biofeedback device.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really interesting to me.
And I've seen that.
You've seen that. And
mm-hmm.
what the key in the principle of biofeedback is that once you become conscious of an involuntary body process, you know, unconscious body process, not only do you will to control it, you can't resist conscious control, conscious volition. And the principle with the biofeedback device is that they hook it up to your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And they put a little clip over the heart, and the clip has an audio pickup over the heart, a little microphone that can pick up the heart rhythms.
Mm-hmm.
And in the computer program that monitors the heart rhythm, they have what's called the golden ratio algorithm of the heart rhythm to show when you're in the actual frequency of compassion.
Yes.
Now, the interesting thing of that, when you're in that frequency of compassion, your thoughts are different than when you're not.
And you're tapping into solutions to problems. You're
intelligence.
Into
a higher intelligence. Yeah, you're
higher
tapping into a higher intelligence.
Correct.
Yeah.
And here's some interesting irony, Christopher, because after I died and I came back and I was guided, actually, I have to tell you a quick story about that because it's almost
uh-huh.
funny.
Uh-huh.
I had this writing that told me to go to Jackson, Wyoming. Then it told me to go to the Silver Dollar Bar, and I would find the person that would have the house I would live in while I did these books. I'm thinking these are books.
Oh, you're kidding.
No,
I went there myself when I had a painting contract down here a couple years ago, and I had the most fun dancing there. They had a really good country two-step swing band there.
Well, it said you'll find the man that owns the house you live in. So I did. And the man next to me, it was an empty place, the man next to me, I got his phone number. And it said I would have a job on the North Slope of Alaska in 3 weeks. I would call him on August 15th, and I would offer $400 for the house. I'd drive out to Wilson, Wyoming. And I see this cute little log house, and the writing says, that man owns a house that you will live in, and you will make this offer. So I was, in fact, did get a job on the North Slope of Alaska to earn enough money to do the books.
So you started having future memory.
Guidance. Absolute, specific guidance, very clear.
Well, that's amazing. That's what I was going to say about my favorite book on near-death experiences is called Future Memory. And all these experiences of people that have had near-death experiences and started getting flashes of the future and seeing it before it happened.
Yes.
Isn't that amazing? The timeline goes nonlinear.
when you read this book, you'll have so much fun with what it's saying because you begin to realize what the nature of the present time is, and that when, for example, we speak of living forever, it is only because the only existence there is within the present. And it begins to really understand that there's a couple things the book really strongly emphasizes. No past, no future, only the present. That's it. Everything is within the present.
The past and future is in the full present.
It's in the full present.
And so that's how you can have future memory.
Yes, absolutely.
Interesting.
And that's what happens when you are in a state of meditation or a state of pure love or forgetting who you are within your everyday experience. That kind of thing. Or when you're listening to music and you're lost in the music, you are within the present. So present that it's the moment before you're hit by the wave type of presence. And that's where existence is, and you see it in glimpses. But
well, you know, that's,
in the book...
That's,
go ahead,
that's
I'm sorry.
Amazing. I just wanted to mention that when you started telling me that story down in Jackson Hole and you started having these glimpses of things that were going to happen that happened then, and
mm-hmm.
I had that same experience before. I just knew there was, before it went down to Jackson Hole, that there was something that was going to take me down there, and it was going to be important for my Cosmic Love radio talk show. And I didn't know what it was, and I wasn't looking forward to taking a painting contract out of the area. Mm-hmm. You know, one of those big multi-million dollar homes down by the golf course there on the edge of Jackson Hole. And anyway, it came together, and I went down there, and it was in the Silver Dollar, that same place, that I met this girl and this lady who was a singer, and she was at this a fundraiser that they were having, a fireman's bowl, and we just had a great time there. But the lady that I met sang this incredible song at the beginning of the show, at the beginning of the fundraiser. You know, it was like a Star Spangled Banner, mm-hmm, kind of a song, but it wasn't that. It was, God, I forget. And it was just, it was just knock your socks off. And anyway, she's a singer that actually won the gold medal competition they have for singers in Hollywood, Hollywood, mm-hmm, singers, a few years earlier. And her singing coach was the same coach that coached, who was the lady Dion, what's her, the incredible, some of the most incredible voices in Hollywood, and she came on the show, she came on the show, and the Ave Maria song that I have at the beginning of the show, that's her. If people have their speakers on when they come to the Cosmic Love webpage, it's her voice. And it's got a frequency, and she told me that she channels Mother Mary, which is interesting, because what she's channeling is the frequency of Mother Mary, and that frequency is in her voice, the audio. Yeah. So the concept of channeling is that you have a oneness with it. It's like there's a connection to that source, the frequency. In this case, it was that there is that frequency in her voice of just a love and adoration for the Divine Mother. I mean, it's just really amazing in her voice. So I've kept on.
The channeling isn't really, it's just everything.
It's just a word.
You could say everything is channeled. It's an 80s term, kind of. But it's, all art, great music, everything comes through. It's essentially a coming through. Well, and interestingly enough, too, that's where I did the first two books. I was led back there. And I was led to this wonderful family. Charlotte MacArthur helped me with the fourth book, and I was led to the MacArthur family. And and they are the people who are part of the development of HeartMath as well.
Really?
And when we published the first book, the first time, we published it at the same time, about the same time as The Course in Miracles, with Saul Steinberg, who published The Course in Miracles, and Louise Hay's early work. So it was a part of a huge gathering of this
outpouring, you might say.
Outpouring, really an outpouring.
Yeah.
But in my case, then I was never to be, the writing always said that I was never to be, this kind of, the books were to be the information. It wasn't supposed to be me as a personality. And so for a long time, I didn't talk to people directly about it. And I still, even though I talk to them, I say to them on a consistent basis, just get a hold of the book and have your own experience with it, because it's really not, it is not I. It is the wording itself. It is the meditation, like the book is a meditation, and therefore I can't take you to that meditation. I can't take you there, but you can go there and experience it on your own. And it's available on the web. The website is www.theimmortalnow.com, and you can just download a copy of it for yourself. So that would be, my story is very interesting. And the guidance that I've had is very interesting, and the amazing human beings I have been led to is just such an exciting thing. But most of all, it is what is within the work itself that matters. And it talks about this. Can I read something else in the book?
Sure, please do.
Okay, it talks about this plane of existence. And again, as it's not theological, it is more the next step beyond quantum physics. When we finally get into understanding what the heart really is and what the present time really is, and it says it's like Copernicus, if we really begin to understand that it's nothing is out there, it's all within. It's all within life itself. Then we're going to begin to see things in an entirely different way. And it goes into a lot of detail about 2012 from an explanation of what the present time actually is. So it talks about this plane of existence. It says it's more like a mirror. If you were have a mirror in front of you and the mirror reflected whatever you thought, and the mirror showed whatever you perceived, and the mirror showed whatever you believed. The mirror is not you. It's only reflecting whatever thought you have at the moment. It's like a pinpoint in time reflecting that moment. But then it talks about this as symbols. It says you deal with symbols on this plane of existence. Symbology is everything. You could call this plane of existence a symbolic plane. Words, images, feelings about images. But then it says, what's happening with what it calls the ascension, and certainly I can't reduce it to just a few words, but it's a time of leaving symbols behind. It says, for example, to know the reality of the tree is to see beyond the symbol. There is a spirit within the tree, that life, there's life within the tree. As you move to higher planes of consciousness within the present time, you see the other elements of the tree. It is by glimpse. The only place in which you do not deal with symbology is within love. The heart does not deal in symbology. And in meditation, you're removed from symbols. At that point, you're at peace and at one within the present. So it's kind of exciting that we are moving. And it says there's no life left out because all life lives is within life. So there's nothing is left out, and it doesn't occur the way we perceive it to occur. And that's what the book says here, to kind of tweak what we thought was going to happen, you know, when in 2012, and it's here to tweak what we might think would happen in what is called the ascension. And it's here to tweak our perception of what the present time actually is.
So this 2012 timeline tweaking, you might say, mm-hmm. is a thinning of the veil, the sense of separation,
yes,
from what some people say call it all that is. All that mm-hmm. is real. I like to think in terms of the gathering of the tribes of all that is real.
That's kind of neat.
and that it gets out of the left brain compartmentalized tendency to put a label on things to fit it mm-hmm. into the former belief system frames of reference, because they're dissolving. The veil is thinning in that regard, and.
Yes.
It's transcending BS as a belief system.
I like that. That's cute.
But it's this understanding of how the world as we've known it is ending, because our perception of it is changing.
Yes.
And it's
within the present.
Within the present, and
uh-huh.
I like to think of it as the difference between full spectrum conscience and autism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in other words, the autism full spectrum disorder, the difference, there's a difference between a full spectrum disorder, you know, which they call autism, and
mm-hmm.
full spectrum conscience of the present, in the present moment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like,
not that we ever really understood what was happening actually within autism, but
yeah. Well, I've just did some people listening may are maybe coming from the email I sent out to about 3,300 people in my news group today about this, what's going on with vaccinations and autism. And Robert Kennedy Jr. Did an amazing piece here just recently about the documentation of autism that skyrocketed since they did the thermisterol, this mercury based they've been putting in the and it was really quite amazing how much, and this is in adults as well as children. In other words, it's not just children that get they get autism from vaccinations. Their brains are in a developmental age, and the mercury and the thermisterol, how you ever say that, what they put in the vaccines, so that the vaccine takes. In other words, it's a poison that whacks the immune system, so it takes. The effect of that with children is really profound, of course, because you know they're developing brains. But with adults, quite often, a lot of what we're calling Alzheimer's, you know, or senior moments.
I've had it.
It's a form. Is those damn flu shots? You know.
I know.
If you know what I mean.
I know.
It's and so they're talking about mandatory vaccinations now. Everyone gets three shots. You know, here coming the fall with this flu thing, and it's a serious issue. So.
It is a fear paradigm as well.
And what is it? Louise Hayes says that flu is mass negativity.
Well, and
that's
the
emotion associated with flu is it's mass negativity. Now, I thought that was really interesting when I was thinking about your show. Is that the way that orchestrating fears with the economy, fears with the end of the world, the 2012 Planet X, all these fears, and this mass negativity is a function of or part of this the flu matrix. It's interesting.
But
so everyone takes
sense, but in a sense, that is the image on the mirror. And what happens,
the
books
the mirror,
talk
yeah.
about the fact that in order to, that you do not correct the image on the mirror, because life does not exist within the image on the mirror. It's like the image on the mirror is
right.
an image of the life.
Right.
And so when you actually correct what is going on the mirror, it occurs within life itself. And it is a huge continuum. They call it the collective unconscious. But we are all connected with each other within that life. And that is where that correction takes place. So what's happening globally, and I'm seeing just huge evidence of it. First of all, we are losing our tolerance for fear. We just aren't doing it anymore. And
losing our what?
Tolerance for fear. It's just not something we're that interested in anymore.
Losing our tolerance for fear, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're just not that interested in it anymore. Just not interested. But then also, we are, if it depends on whatever your belief system is. If you're a Christian, you're believing more. If you're a Muslim, you're believing more. You're meditating more. You're praying more. You're doing all these things, as well as enjoying the scenery more. And that's part of this movement that's going within life to choosing life. And so and it is part of the ascension. And there is no correlation between, the books talk about, and I hate to paraphrase them because they say it so clearly, they're so crystalline in nature that they say it without, without struggle really. But they talk about that we are just simply, we don't affect it. We don't affect the ascension. It's simply happening. As the veil thins, then all of this becomes apparent to us. So
well, hold that thought a minute.
Okay, sure.
I kind of say the same thing that goes on with what's going on in the collective consciousness of the computer internet revolution right now, with this instant everywhere interactive, there's a revolution in higher consciousness going on, because all time and space, all the mysteries of time and space, they're gone. We're in a global village. It's just like,
yes,
love thy neighbor. It's like our the netizen citizens in this global village, and we're connected so close all together. And it is an ascension process, but we don't think of it as that. There's this revolution in higher consciousness is going on. And what do you call it? Evolutionary ascension? You know, it's going on. It's happening. And it's
happening within the present.
Within the present. And it's happening faster. It's accelerating. The rate of change is accelerating.
Mm-hmm.
And that sense of, and the future memory I've been getting, I've been glimpses of what, where it's going. And a vision of healing of the healthcare system, the economy, the system of representative government, you know, with information's ecology, recycling of general knowledge to generate specific
mm-hmm.
wisdom, you know, for wholeness and healing of all our social, political, and economic institutions. I flash on this. It just, to me, it becomes self-evident to the point where it's like future memory, you know, where you
mm-hmm.
can see that it's evolving, it's ascending, whether we know it or like it or not. And the glimpse of it, you know, how good things can be, how things, the heaven on earth concept is,
yes,
is like the greatest mysteries that are veiled in paradox, you know, to be in the world but not of the world. That veil is thinning, that sense of separation, you know what I mean?
That's right. That's right. And there's an interesting, can I quote something from the book? Again,
sure.
It says, you will see that when a flower blossoms, it takes a tremendous energy, as all of the energy of the flower goes into the blossom. It's very hard to create the beauty of the blossom, the color of the blossom, the life of the blossom. So it is with life at this point. It is taking all of its energy to create the ascension, to create the blossom, to create the transition. As a result, there are many, many individuals who are in meditation a great deal at this point. They're making abrupt changes in their life. They're exploring things they've never explored before. It seems like becomes a conflict with other life, but it really isn't. It is within the individual. And therefore, the Muslims are becoming more devoted as Muslims, and the Christians are much more devoted as Christians. And those who meditate, meditate more frequently. And those who seek God within, seek it more earnestly. That is all an effort to create the blossom of the ascension. And you start talking to people, And you find that, in fact, that's what's happening in their lives
at
this point.
That's a beautiful metaphor. It's like the lotus blossom that Buddha was cradling in his hands while he was sitting
mm-hmm.
there meditating.
And it's still within the heart, and it is still within the present. And it
mm-hmm.
is so within the present that it is the presence of the presence, you see. And that happens all the time.
I wish you'd use the Buddhic metaphor, because the budding
yes.
flower is what a Buddha is, the budding Buddha is all about. You know?
Yes.
It is the same thing. I mean, you know, it's...
It is. It is
Buddhism,
the same.
Buddhism is Buddhism, you know, how we're budding
mm-hmm.
into a new awareness, like a
But
a
then
flower.
That wasn't really... Here, what we're moving to is the point at which the book says that we understand there is no time. So
right.
there was no evolution Buddha 2,000 years ago. There's only the nature of the present time.
Right.
And
yeah.
and so all of it is contained within life, within the presence, and within the present.
He kind of created his own near death experience, from what I understand. You know, the severe fasting he was doing.
Hmm.
Or you know. And so the veil must have thinned for him in the same regard, to where he had enough flashes of it that he could pass it on. And I think that's really what you're doing with your book. The meditation, the mediation of that sense of connection, rather than the sense of separation, you know, to get past the sense of separation, which is, of course, the whole purpose of meditation, which is the Eastern tradition in general. Anyway.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I see the problem with symbols and symbols of symbols, you know, letters within words, and how they're so often take you into the left brain and remove you from the heart.
Yeah.
With the intellect and the ego that thinks it knows better through a compartmentalized framing of something that's frameless and nonlinear and with without form, and it is the great paradox, and the greatest mysteries are veiled in that paradox. And of course, to me, pure geometry, you know, the law of the circle, the law of the 2-in-1, the 3-in-1, the 4-in-1 with geometric thought forms, is an ordered progression of that law of the one. You know, the connect,
yes.
There's no sense of separation. With that fully present, full spectrum, conscious discernment, immortal reality anyone in the higher mental body that is connected with their heart will get it, that my expression is common sense is uncommon, and the most powerful special interests in the world have a vested interest in keeping it that way.
And that too is within the fear paradigm.
That does fall within the fear paradigm.
It does.
Well, I say that,
and what's dissipating is the fear paradigm. And an interesting thing for me, and the book talks about this too, which is there is no death. But you have to understand there is no death from the point of view of the present time. That is the point at which you understand there is no death. Can I quote from the book again?
Sure.
It says, a world free of fear is one in which you understand that there is no death. That simply, you never die. That you were never born, you never die. That is only entering into a paradigm. That is not who you are. That is the single most radical change that takes place when one moves from the world of fear to the world of love. It's like telling a kindergartner that they do not know how to color or to walk or to sing songs or whatever they enjoy. That they're still a baby. They are not. They've grown. They've learned. They've progressed. They've developed. And they no longer belong to the realm of babyhood within its limits. And that's humanity is in that position as well. And that's the hardest one to swallow, I think.
So I think, there is a waking up to an inner sense that is true innocence.
Yes.
And that process is accelerating, the veil is thinning, and when that happens, all our PTSD comes to the surface of the ego.
Exactly. And that's what's happening. We're facing it head on. We're looking it right in the eye, and there.
Yeah.
You're saying, I had this wonderful sermon my dear friend David MacArthur gave, and he said, I thank for the moment, and I choose peace.
And
you're confronted with those things, I choose peace within. I choose the peace within. And
I think that's
happening consciously or unconsciously is, in a sense, what we're happening, we're choosing collectively. But again, back to the book itself is, my dear friend Jay Booth has said, you know, Pat, she's a cynical college teacher and wonderful, wonderful, brilliant woman.
Yeah.
And she said when she read the book, I'll read from her. She said, the immortal now in every sense is a revolutionary work which redefines the inner relationship of the individual, the world, and the universe in a way that is both new and compelling. The Immortal Now is not a book that we can just read past to pass the time or for an evening's entertainment. It is a book that we wrestle with and read again and wrestle with some more until we earn we have a well-earned epiphany.
Yeah.
In a sense, that's what happened to Jay. She helped me with the book. It just led to that moment in which she could get what the book was actually saying in terms of what is the nature of the present time.
Yeah, and I think what it is that reading the book, people will have epiphanies. They'll have flashes of insight. And of course, what you bring to the book is what you get out of it. There is a pure intention that focuses attention on this whole spirit of the book, which is evolutionary ascension, what the ascension is. And I think that
without
that,
time.
There you go. Without inadvertently.
Yeah, exactly.
In other words, Yeah, and I think that's, if anyone, and we're going to have to do a wrap here shortly, but
yes.
I think anyone that tunes into this book, The Immortal Now, and tunes into the nature of the present, the fully present time, the nature of time, the present time, which is a synthesis of where past meets future, the concept of future memory, that there is no time, no space,
right.
and in that sense of no time or zero point is sometimes referred to by Greg Braden and other people are trying to put a name on this concept of this nonlinear, spherical, spiritual conscience that represents somehow the source connection that transcends time and space as we've known it. So this self-transcending process that involves and evolves our individual and collective conscience as never before in history, I think it's culturing a new, when I say ESP, I'm talking about effective sensory perception. There's a new, these gifts of the Holy Spirit of love in action are engaging. And there is a slip in the surly bounds of egoic time-space as we've known it. And it's happening. And the flashes of that in the inside, I think, is one insight to this inner sense that's true innocence. Transcends that all those records of PTSD, you know, those records of being hurt.
Yeah.
And the spirit that's
because it doesn't exist within the heart. The heart
that's true.
That does not. That's not where that existence is.
And that's why,
all there is.
That's why, for me, my therapy with a lot of this PTSD and things that have happened over the years has been dancing. Dancing like no one is watching and loving like I've never been hurt.
Yeah. There you go.
You know?
Exactly.
There's this thing when you're doing country two-step swing and you're turning and you're spinning and you're turning around as you go around the floor, it goes around counterclockwise, just like water goes down the drain counterclockwise in the northern hemisphere and it goes down the drain clockwise in the southern hemisphere. And when they do circle dancing in the northern hemisphere, they usually do it counterclockwise. In the southern hemisphere, they do it clockwise. So you're spinning around like a twirling dervish as you're dancing around counterclockwise, going around a circle counterclockwise, and you're spinning and your chakras are spinning and the energy's spinning. And this is what's happening right now to people all over the world with the rate of change accelerating. Their energy is spinning and they're going into their heart like as never before.
That's right.
Where else do you go? And
there's a wonderful chapter in the book on earth change as well, which has nothing to do with fear, has all to do, everything to do with life, which really dispels a lot of the myths. But again, it goes back into this understanding that comes to the book, and certainly didn't come from me. I can assure you, Christopher, it's not from me. It's really kind of through me. And I'm just so glad that it happened. I wanted to mention one other thing, too.
Yeah.
On the webpage, there's a forum, that we're just getting the forum started. So there's going to be a place for people to have discussions. And we are doing what we call sessions. I don't know what you call them. But anyway, we're going to download some of those things, too, because as things happen, then there's an immediate response as well. So it's just such a gift, and it's a gift you can give yourself.
I'm so grateful
or anybody, just the individual. That's all within life.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so grateful you shared this with us today, Patricia. I hope everyone has a chance to download the ebook, tune into it, and I love the meditation. Just looking at that picture of the cover of the book, it's a great thought form and. I hope everyone has a chance to meditate with this book, with the links, the information, and keep in touch. That we keep in touch, and they keep in touch with you, and that this
I'd appreciate
process,
that.
This process happens, and makes
great.
Make it so. Well, this
Thank
is the wrap.
So much, Christopher.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. This is a wrap for Cosmic Love, this show, and I look forward to speaking to everyone in a couple of weeks. Thanks again, Patricia.
Thank you, Christopher.
You're
Bye.
Welcome. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this presentation on Cosmic Love. I hope you have enjoyed receiving this as much as I have enjoyed giving it. There's a new relationship with all humanity that is maturing with the new synchronicity of instant, everywhere, interactive, net reality. Cosmic Love is the heart of this synchronicity. Tools and processes that empower the wisdom of Cosmic Love is the purpose of the Worldwide Love Foundation. The family of man is now making a quantum leap into a new consciousness as never before in history. Our awareness as humankind is expanding, and the internet reflects that multidimensional expansion of consciousness into new realms of omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence in the power of cosmic love. This has huge implications. The more information we have, the greater the need to get it all in order. The more knowledge power we have, the greater the need for the wisdom of cosmic love. That should be common sense, and it's time to make common sense more common. If you agree that the American Revolution was huge for freedom and opportunity in the world, look what's happening to the whole world now. A new connection with cosmic love is positioning the golden rule, law, language for a golden age in our spirit, our minds, our hearts, and the soul of humanity. We're on the threshold of a global revolution that is awakening the angels of our better nature. Let's be honest and reason together. Cosmic love has always been the golden rule law language for every golden age in cosmic history. Some things don't change, only the ability of the human mind to grasp the full implications of the world in which we now live. That has changed with the internet, and like an adolescent who is not an adult yet, but not a child either, the internet is now installed, operational, and ready to take our personal and planetary consciousness to the next level. That would be cosmic love, and the foundation principles for this is the love model, a universal law language interface for net reality that represents the five-dimensional intelligence that can fulfill a global revolution in higher consciousness. Check it out for yourself. See how it works. Consider the role you can play and how you can benefit. The sooner you get the vision of this cosmic love thing, the sooner you can profit from a wholly new economy that will transform all our social networks with extraordinary abundance of everything held sacred by free people worldwide. There is a new intelligence that is defining and refining humanity's evolutionary ascent. The higher the intelligence of universal cosmic love, the greater the results. The gateway to higher consciousness is, in fact, the language of consciousness. The five-dimensional intelligence that cosmic love frames in form and frequency, as in frequently. Once you get it, how the Holy Spirit of love and action can heal our individual and collective conscience, it will become self-evident how cosmic love can nurture and culture the net reality that brings a Holy Spirit to the collective consciousness of humanity. Love heals all, always has, always will. The more cosmic and universal the vision of love, the greater the results. Welcome to the opportunity. It's time to link the light workers who are love makers. The internet now provides this opportunity for extraordinary synchronicity as will empower wisdom with cosmic love. Someone had to do it. Now you can. Network for the net worth of this new net reality. You have the vision now before you. What you do with it can change your world and the world at large. We are all co-creators in the cosmic scheme of cosmic love. The great spirit of great love is the great opportunity that genuine freedom gives all of us. Heaven knows that there is nothing more valuable than the vision of cosmic love that has found its time. Experience the Worldwide Love Foundation in your consciousness, being, and world. Care enough to share this vision of great opportunity. Step into the circle of global connection as you center and connect with the five-dimensional intelligence of cosmic love that provides the cultural DNA for a golden age on Earth. Miracles happen when cosmic love is conceived, believed, and achieved. You are that miracle when you become the cosmic love you want to see in the world. Own this vision as your own. Embrace the intrinsic virtue of cosmic love. Make the vow to do what you can because you can. Claim the victory for all mankind aspiring to live as kind men. Here's to winning from the beginning of a global revolution that will finish worldwide with the great experiment and representative government gave humanity with the American Revolution. Heaven on earth is virtually in your hands. Do you want the keys to the kingdom? Are you ready to assemble the components to the capstone of cosmic love vision? Discover the five-dimensional intelligence that will empower your own virtually untapped gifts and talents. Consider how you can make a difference, if not the difference. It's your life, your world. Take command. Give cosmic love the chance that you want for all mankind. Now you can. See for yourself. Do it for cosmic love, and heaven knows cosmic love will bless your life far beyond this one. Sooner or later, what goes around comes around. You can call that good karma, or the justice of cosmic law, or just the blessings of cosmic love. It's the same thing. The abundant life is born in abundant love. The more cosmic that love, the more abundant is your life. Personally, I can't think of anything better to do, and I hope you feel the same way. So keep in touch with cosmic love. It only gets better as you pay attention. This is how cosmic love works. Pay attention because attention pays in ways that make cosmic love the new currency for global peace and prosperity. Your attention is your consciousness. The next economy for planetary civilization will pay attention to the value of virtue, the virtue of cosmic love. The family of man and our global village must be connected to this one virtue. We must pay attention to the first principles of higher consciousness if we are to transcend the old paradigms of scarcity consciousness that scarcity economics has created. This is the whole point of cosmic love. We won't heal our personal and planetary problems with the same consciousness that created the problems. The best hope for humanity is the charity of goodwill among mankind. This is the charity of cosmic love in action. This is the Holy Spirit of cosmic love in man that raises mankind with loving kindness. I hope you appreciate this message and share it with others. That may be just your circle of influence with family and friends, or it may be every news group or blog on the internet where light workers and enlightened netizens, global citizens, hang out. By the grace of cosmic love, enough good people will do enough soon enough to quickly turn the tide of global consciousness from the paradigm of scarcity to the paradigm of abundance that cosmic love cultures. May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.